Christians in the Third World, who were once the object of America's missionary efforts, are reversing the process. A group of conservative Episcopalians, America's version of the Anglican Church, is seeking spiritual refuge from Anglicans in Africa, who believe America has become too secular and is in need of their guidance. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports on this new breed of missionaries, white, conservative, and defying the Episcopal Church.
Tradition defines Christ Episcopal Church in Mobile, Alabama. The bell marking Sunday worship is 150 years old. The church is more ancient still. It's a place that 94-year-old Dolores Drain has loved since she joined it 62 years ago. But then a few years back, a new priest came to town, and tradition gave way to religious fervor.
I just didn't like the way they waved their hands and sang, and it wasn't as devout as I thought it should be.
2, 3, 4, 1.
For many longtime members, more troubling than the new style was the new philosophy. They say they saw their church veer radically right, especially on the issue of homosexuality. Parishioner Victor Stanton says this attitude was anathema to the Episcopal Church he knew.
The Episcopal Church's attitude toward this has been one of tolerance. Although we do not acknowledge same-sex marriages and will not perform them, we in the same respect will not slam the door in the face of our gay neighbors. I believe that there was a movement within the church that was against this, and that led to the dissension.
Stanton says the church needs to interpret the Bible as society changes. For example, the Bible tolerates slavery, but no one today would want the church to take that literally. But other parishioners, like Debbie Hansen, say the debate goes deeper than homosexuality. The question is whether the Episcopal Church has so accommodated modern culture that it's abandoned its core beliefs. Hansen believes the church is turning a blind eye to biblical sin for the sake of inclusiveness.
It's like going to the doctor with a broken toe and him saying, but a broken toe is a good thing, and you should embrace a broken toe, and it's a great thing. In the meantime, your foot hurts, you can't walk, and it's never healed correctly. So you need a difference between right and wrong.
That theological debate, which had been simmering for years, hit a flashpoint in the summer of 2000 when officials in the Episcopal Church in the U.S. came close to endorsing same-sex unions. Conley Badishbaugh, a priest at Christ Church, says that was the turning point.
And I started to pray as I hadn't prayed before and said, God, what would you have me to do? And that eventually was the question that we posed to the congregation of Christ Church.
In October 2000, most of the congregation voted to leave the Episcopal Church and turned to the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in Rwanda, Africa, who they knew was sympathetic to their cause. The vote pitted husbands against wives, mothers against sons, and it prompted a lawsuit over who would keep the 180-year-old church building. The Rwandan missionaries, as they called themselves, eventually moved out. Today, the Christ Anglican Church worships in the Convention Center in downtown Mobile. By 7 a.m., a dozen parishioners are putting together their makeshift church, setting up the portable altar, the musical instruments, the huge gold cross. Parishioner Robert Brenner says there's a freedom in this nomadic worship and an irony. After all, it used to be that British and American missionaries brought the gospel to Africa. Now, he says, it's the Africans who are exporting their vibrant faith because Americans have lost theirs.
We want to learn from them rather than, as Americans, we've been the ones saying, you learn from us. So, yes, it is a reverse kind of mission.
The story of Christ Church Mobile has been replicated throughout the United States. In the past 3 years, some 55 churches with 12,000 members have left the American Episcopal Church to join the Anglican Mission in America. They are now missionaries for the province of Rwanda with the purpose of converting Americans to evangelical Christianity.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious.
Earlier this month, about 800 of these missionaries gathered in Pawleys Island, South Carolina, for what seemed at times like a pep rally. And they acted most un-Episcopalian, sometimes falling to their knees as they sang, inhaling encouragement from their sponsors, like Bishop John Rashahana of Rwanda.
You have the capacity to speak to America. I see something happening. God is raising you up for a purpose.
Afterwards, Stephen Ruck, who leads an Anglican mission church in Chicago, says it's not so much the words, but the passion of African priests that ignites his faith.
They'll say the same things I've heard American preachers say for 20 years. And frankly, hackneyed phrases coming out of an American mouth. But a Rwandan archbishop can say the same thing, and it has depth of meaning. So we're hungry for that depth in our own Christianity and our walk with Christ.
Ruck, like almost everyone here, lost his Episcopal priesthood, and his congregation lost its church when they joined the Anglican Mission. In fact, these people are like refugees, but with an attitude. Reverend Paul Carter, who comes from New Westminster, Canada, likens the Anglican Mission to his days in the British Red Berets, the parachute troops who would rescue hostages in the Middle East and Africa.
We are, if you like, the Green Berets, or in my case, the Red Berets, seeking to go in and to pioneer a fresh way forward, to rescue people from misunderstandings about Scripture and draw them back to a deeper understanding of the historic Anglican tradition.
Meaning the conservative tradition. The rift in the American Episcopal Church reflects a larger rift between the West and the Third World. And while these white, newly minted missionaries may feel like a minority in America, their theology is a majority worldwide, according to historian Philip Jenkins at Penn State University. Jenkins is author of The Next Christendom, which traces the rapid decline of the liberal churches in the West and the explosion of conservative Christianity in the Third World. For example, Uganda, which is about the size of Oregon, has more Anglicans than Britain and America combined. Jenkins says this shift in the balance of power from the West to the South and from liberal theology to conservative creates a dilemma for the Western Church.
The liberals basically spent the last 40 years saying, let's hear the voice of the Third World. And now they've heard it, and they'd like the Third World to shut up for several decades.
But he adds that conservatives should not get smug about the new partnership. He says Africans have basic disagreements with conservative Americans on social issues, such as how to handle third world debt or the AIDS epidemic. Moreover, others say when it comes to faith, numbers can be misleading. Charles Bennison is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Philadelphia. He says just because there are millions of conservative Christians who rally around issues like homosexuality, that doesn't mean they're right. Adolf Hitler, he says, had many followers as well.
Please, I'm not saying the people in this country or my colleagues in the episcopate in Africa are necessarily gathering people around something as dastardly as Adolf Hitler. I am trying to make the point, however, that growth and truth are two different things.
And the Western Church, he says, has a leading role to play in bringing the Church into the 21st century. The next critical moment for the Anglican Mission will come in July, when the Episcopal Church may take up the issue of blessing gay unions. And if the Church does go down that path, many say that more of the big conservative churches will be bolting from the mainline tradition, looking to become African missionaries in America. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Mobile, Alabama.